became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we sit here for this short time and get up in the things that have to do with eternity. Save, sanctify, ooh, God, and edify. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we've been in Hebrews 11, amen, and we started in chapter 1, verse 1, and we all the way in chapter 11 now, and we just taking our time, slow cooking, amen. Somebody say red beans. We just slow cooking it, amen, and you know, sometimes you just got to let the fire be on it, you know what I'm saying, and so that's what we've been doing. We finally get to Hebrews 11, amen, which is the hall of faith, and we've been going through, amen, the patriarchs, and we've been discussing primarily the antediluvian patriarchs, Abel and Enoch, and we've gotten to Noah, and if you remember, Noah is one of the greatest examples of faith, in particular, faith in action, because Noah just didn't say he believed, he acted like he believed. And this is our problem, our struggle that we have in this day. We got unbelieving believers, amen. Believers that don't act like they believe. And that's why Jesus said in the last days, he said, will there be faith in the earth when he returns? And Noah shows us what faith looks like because it steps out for God. It does the impossible and the improbable for God. And we'll look at that. And Noah did all of this, y'all, in some dark days. As we looked at Noah in general, we saw the time that he was living in. It was the day of the Nephilim. It was a day of gross and widespread global wickedness because of the watchers and their infiltration, amen, into the seed of men. He also, amen, did all of this, amen, even though it was things not yet seen. Noah had never seen total judgment when God said he would flood the whole earth. He never seen an ark before that would be able to fit all the different species of animals and eight people on board. And even though Noah didn't see judgment and see ark, the ark, like God said, never saw a flood like God was talking about. Noah still believed God and stepped out on faith, even though it was things not yet seen. Last time we looked at how Noah prepared an ark. And we talked about what an ark was. It was a wooden box, a chest to carry something valuable. And usually the vessel was made in a fashion to where it would float. And so we saw how Noah prepared an ark, 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. We talked about, amen, the ark that's in Kentucky, Williamstown, Kentucky, amen. That'd be a nice little field trip for the church to go on, just walk through the ark, amen. That'd be what all them Hebrews doing over here all at one time, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, Williamstown, Kentucky, and we saw that, amen, it took a lot of wealth to build that boat, that vessel. We saw that, amen, that the vessel probably cost anywhere between 100 million to build, 50 million. But if you want to do it right, it would reach somewhere around $1 billion by the time you fill it up with the food and everything else. And we told you last time, amen, that for God to use Noah to do that, Noah couldn't have been a broke man. Noah had resources at his disposal to get done what God needed to get done in the earth. And so we just challenge you, amen. And it was a tough word. It's a hard word. But you know, if nobody ever pushed you, then you're not going to know what you're capable of. Amen. Amen. One day you're going to thank God for your old pastor. You understand what I'm saying? Your young pastor. Amen. Amen. And so we talked about that. You see. We're going to continue a little bit this evening, and we'll look at our third point. And let me see, I think it's our fourth point. The fourth point is the saving of his house, to the saving of his house. And it's in verse 7. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And so we want to look at that phrase, the saving of his house. And just want to let you know that God used Noah to save himself, to save Noah, but also to save Noah's house, all right? When we say his house, we mean Noah's wife, his sons, huh? And also his sons' wives, you see? God used them for that. Now, I need you to know that God didn't have to use Noah to get this accomplished. Right. He didn't have to use Noah to do this. You see, Noah built an ark, but if God wanted, God could have built the ark. Are you with me here, Sufa? All right? You say, Pastor, how do you know God can build the ark? There's nothing impossible for our God. You know what I'm saying? He created the heavens and the earth. You know? He created the firmament, amen, that separates the waters above from the waters beneath, the continents and everything that's on the continents, the trees, the mountains, huh? The valleys, the canyons, the beautiful clouds that look like they solid, but they float in midair. God created all of that. And he did it in 6 days because he rested on the seventh. Are you with me here so far? So what I'm telling you is that God didn't have to hire Noah to build this ark. But he chose to hire Noah. All right? Why would God do this? Why would God do this? When you understand our God and his ways, you will understand that a lot of times when God could do something by himself independently, amen, he would rather a cooperative agreement with man to get his work done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you hearing me up in here? God likes to cooperate with a man to get his work done. And it's like that throughout all the annals of Scripture. We see it here with Noah. We see it with Enoch. We see it, amen, with King David. We see it. God needs something done, and he's in heaven, and he asks the question, who will go for us? And it's an amazing thing because he's God and he's God alone. He can do it by himself, you know, but he likes cooperation. He seeks someone to go for him. He seeks someone to carry his power, to carry his anointing, to carry his wisdom. What a wonderful God we serve. You know what I'm saying? We rarely see God coming down and doing it by himself. Can anybody think of one time when he came down by himself to get it done? He said he put on his own helmet of salvation, his own breastplate of righteousness. And he did that because man could not accomplish salvation. There is no Savior but me, saith the Lord. So he had to come down himself and do it. And so this is the only exception. Somebody say cooperation. And that word co means together. It means that God wants to do an operation on earth together with you. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to operate through you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got some things on the earth that he want accomplished that only you could do. You see? God didn't need Noah to build no ark. You see? God could have built it. You see? God wanted Noah to participate in his own salvation and the salvation of his family. He wanted Noah to participate in his own salvation and the salvation of his family. You see? And the participation that God was most wanting from Noah is faith. Is faith. And that's what God mostly wants from us, is faith. He's looking for somebody to believe in. You don't have to have the talent. You don't have to have the skill. You don't have to have the intellect. Ask Peter and the fishermen who didn't even know how to read. Ignorant men, the Bible called them. All you have to do to qualify to be in a cooperative agreement, a partnership, a corporation with the Godhead, all you need to qualify is faith. It's faith. It's faith. God, he looks out in all the earth to see whose heart is perfect towards him. The only way our heart can be perfect towards him is in faith. Is in faith. That's the only way, because it ain't perfect in righteousness, but perfect in faith. You're God and you're God alone. I trust you. I trust you. If you tell me go, I'm going to go. If you tell me talk, I'm going to talk. If you tell me build, I'm going to build. If you tell me open it, I'm going to open it. If you tell me build it, I'm going to build it. If you tell me preach it, I'm going to preach it. If you, whatever you tell me to do, God, I'm going to do it. And that alone qualifies you for a cooperative agreement with God. Because he don't need nothing else now. He don't need the material. He don't need the supplies. He gonna provide all that through you if you got the faith. Oh, come on, somebody. He gonna make it all happen. He gonna make sure, amen, he gonna give you the provision for the vision. Listen to me now. All right? But you just gotta believe. You just gotta believe. You could be sitting there, broke, busted, sitting in the alleyway, but you just believe God. You just believe God. You just answer the question, who will go for you? You say, God, I ain't got nothing, but I'm going to go. Whatever I have, you could use. I'm going to go. Listen, listen, it's faith. It's faith. It's a faith thing to enter in an agreement with God. See, most of us don't have faith. We have fear. Tonight in this room, most of us don't have faith. We have fear. You understand what I'm saying? And fear, the fear of man, worketh a snare. A snare is a trap that holds you in one place. See, faith moves. Fear stands still. You can always tell when somebody is afraid because they're paralyzed. You can always tell when somebody afraid because after a year, you check with them, they're in the same place. 2 years, you check with them, they're in the same place. 3 years, you check with them, they're in the same place. You talk to them, you say, man, what you scared of? I ain't scared. No, 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 Negro, you scared. And the way I know you're scared is because you're in a snare. And the fear of man worketh a snare. A lot of us are stuck because we're afraid. You can't be a knower if you're afraid. You see? See, faith invests itself in the plan of God. Faith will invest itself in the plan of God. God says, listen, a flood is coming. I need you to build an ark. What Noah does, Noah just don't say, yes, God, I believe. He invests himself into the plan of God. Noah took his money and he invested in the plan of God. Noah took his time and he invested in the plan of God. They say it took 120 years of Noah's life to build that ark. Noah invested 120 years into God's plan. Here's some of y'all. Y'all ain't putting y'all money into God's vision for your life. You're not putting your time into God's vision for your life. You do it for a week, a month. You're ready to give up. You're ready to quit. Noah did this thing for 120 years before the fulfillment came to being. Oh, God, y'all ain't. And I know you don't want to wait that long, but listen to me. The longer you wait for God, the bigger the blessing is. Are you with me right here? See, any good cook knows we can go in there and fix some macaroni in 15 minutes. But if you want something really good, Mark, if you want something really good, well, it's going to take a little minute. We're going to have to wake up early and prepare. We might have to get up. We might have to do something the day before to get it right. We might have to marinate it. We might have to soak it in something. We might have to put a little dressing on it. We gotta stuff it with something. Listen to me now. It's preparation. It takes a little time. And the more time you invest in something, usually the more blessed it is. See, faith invests money, it invests time, and it invests strength and energy into a thing. You see? When you believe God for something, these three areas, not exclusively, but these three areas gonna manifest itself. Then you can call what you say you believe, then you can call it real faith. All right? Some of y'all have a vision for business, a vision for a position, a vision for some kind of political platitude, some type of political office, but you have not done anything to invest in that vision. You ain't put no money into it. You ain't put no time into it. And you ain't put no energy into it. You see? That's what Noah did. And that's what God is looking for. In regards to money, hey, God, you put your little pennies into it. Pastor, it's not a lot of money. It don't have to be a lot of money with God. The money is not the issue. The faith is the issue. When I started my first law office, I didn't have nothing. We come from Baton Rouge, I'm telling you, with $50 in our pocket. After we put gas, we didn't have too much after that. We opened them doors on 2900 Marsh Street, amen, with no lobby furniture. Our customers, our clients had to come in, amen, and first lady was working the front. She said, Ms. Tebow will be with you in a second. You know, usually you tell people to sit down. Keila, she couldn't even say that. You just stand up against the wall, you know what I'm saying? Chill out. Yeah, we have nothing. We didn't have nothing. But our little pennies. Our little pennies. We made it happen with our little pennies, you know? And when God see you put your little pennies, then he began to move. He began to move. You know what I'm saying? He put our little pennies together. You know what I'm saying? Then my mama wound up coming through and buying us a lobby set. You know what I'm saying? I was happy with that little lobby furniture. I still got that lobby furniture today. Miss Karen, you know where it's at, huh? It's at the school. Oh, yeah, in the back. You know? But I put my little pennies, I invested my little money. You know? Stop eating your money. Thank you. Thank you. But Pastor, when I put my little money in that, I'm going to lose it. That's fear. That's not faith. Yeah. Come on. Jesus. Cast your bread on many waters. Thank you. There's a blessing on your bread. You know your bread is blessed because when you put it in your body, your bread is blessed. So stop putting it in your body. Put it in your business. In your business. Make your business. Put your little change. You know? We start putting our little change. We end up with, you know, we got metal chairs right before metal. Remember our metal chair? They sitting on metal chairs. The lobby furniture comes. Lo and behold, my mother-in-law getting an accident. And we're not praying for nobody getting an accident, but mother-in-law getting an accident. I say, mother-in-law, come see me. Bring the accident report. Mother-in-law hit a lick, she blesses. You understand what I'm saying? We settled that case with mother-in-law. My mama got an accident after that. Listen, all family members, I think your daddy got an accident, your mama got an accident. But it was because of faith. I'm telling you. What y'all don't know is I'm probably going to be opening my personal injury side of my law firm again. So some of y'all going to be getting into accidents real soon. Not to hurt you, but to come to pastor so I can settle that for you. Because we got a school to finish and we got some. Now I'm going to be doing just car accidents. Look at your neighbor, get ready. Look at your neighbor, say, get ready, neighbor. How do we get off into that? Listen. Wait one second. For faith, you got to invest for faith. Your little money, your time, your energy. And the good thing about God is, you know what I'm saying? He woke me up. He say fragments. That's what he told me. He say fragments. You see? God don't need a lot from you. All he needs is a few fish and a few loaves. And the faith for you to give it to him. He don't need a lot. See, once you put it in his hands, he gonna begin to multiply them. He gonna begin to multiply. The little boy didn't multiply. The disciples didn't multiply. He gonna begin to multiply. Tell your neighbor, put it in his hands. As you grow in Christ, watch this. See, as you grow, God's looking for cooperation. And in the Hebrews, he's going to need cooperation amongst the elite of his people to bring us as a people to a level of financial excellence and independence. He's going to be looking for leaders to be able to do that. People that's going to own the corporations and the businesses that the wicked going to have to release to the righteous. Them billion-dollar industries going to have to go to somebody. But you can't be on the old plan. If you on the old church's plan of being broke, dying, and getting to heaven and waiting till heaven to get your mansion, or if you're going to be like your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and get your blessing now and later. I can't tell you which plan for you to be on. That's up to you. But I know, as for me in my house, what plan I'm going to be on. You understand what I'm saying? As the switch happens, he needs to find faithful Hebrews that's going to be able and be willing to take the reins of the wealth of the wicked, all right? And that's going to do the right thing with it. Are you hearing me? It's a cooperative agreement, but he's looking for faith, you know? Now, as you walk with God, you're going to make some mistakes. And the mistake going to come in your hearing. As you grow in Christ, you're learning his voice. It's one of the most valuable things we teach our kids. Hear daddy's voice. Hear mama's voice. I don't care if you're in a crowded room. I don't care if it's a bunch of people. If you hear me say something, you come and you attend to my voice. You understand what I'm saying? As you grow in Christ, you are learning the voice of Abba, of Yahweh. And as you learn his voice, just like kids, you're going to have a time of a learning curve. You're going to hear it sometime. You won't hear it other time. And it's okay. In this walk of you learning to hear God, it's never losses. It's just lessons. All right? You're going to hear God for vision in businesses, in jobs, and investments for your life, amen? And you'll think you hear him, amen, but you might not. So you're going to put your money and your time and your energy into something, and you're going to miss God. Not a loss, but a lesson. And you're going to learn something right there. But whatever you do, don't take it as a sign that somehow you a failure and you shouldn't be investing and you shouldn't be listening to God. No, no losses, just lessons. And sometimes you will hear God and he's going to tell you to do something and put your money and put your time and put your energy into it, and it's not going to make you $1 million and it's not going to succeed. And you're going to have to close it down. And you're going to be that, we didn't hear God. No, you heard God. You heard God. You did hear him. You said, but Pastor, we lost out. It's not a loss. It's a lesson. He gave you that to teach you some things right there. Listen, if I could go back in my life, Of all the things we did that didn't succeed, every single one was a lesson for me and First Lady. The very first business we opened was Oil Change Your Way. We had our little business called, we was in college, Jenna. We had our little business calls or whatever like that, but we was excited, bro. It was a mobile oil changing company. You know what I'm saying? We was excited, bro. You know? First Lady would handle the paperwork, the calls and everything. And I found out that I would handle it all and get under the calls. I found that out. She's smart. She's real smart. So we did that. You know what I'm saying? And we changed a few people all and stuff like that and did our thing, man. We passed our business cards. We was going to business. We was hustling, man. It didn't make a whole bunch of money. If we made $1,000, if we made $500, listen, but it wasn't about the money. It was about the intangible things it taught us about business, about people, about promotions, about advertisement, about how to secure a deal, how to get people to get the product that, oh, y'all ain't, I'm telling some of y'all done failed at some things, and now you think that you're not a business person. Or now you think that somehow God is not with you. You see? And it couldn't be further from the truth. I want to inspire you tonight. Stop operating in fear, but operate in faith. You know what I'm saying? Every single loss is a lesson. And because of that, I walk out, Brian. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to try it. I'm going to open it. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I'm going to open it. And look, if it fail, guess what? I'm going to close it. You understand what I'm saying? And when I close it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to look for something else that I can open. Why? Because I'm looking for where God is, Miss Connie. I'm looking for where he is. In the Old Testament days, they dug for water. When you dig for water, you keep digging till you find it. God got something for you, young man. And this hole might not be it, but guess what? I'm going to move over here. Only the fool would stop digging after he dug one hole. Oh, God have mercy. My goodness, hallelujah. Listen, Noah was a man of faith and not fear. No losses, just lessons. Now, in regards to salvation, listen to me good. The same way in all these other areas I'm talking about was the same way in regards to salvation. God wanted Noah to cooperate with him, to save himself and to save his family. All right? God told Noah, listen, I'm flooding it. But this is the way you can get out of the flood. God is not going to make Noah take the way. He's not going to make Noah prepare the way. He's just going to provide the way for Noah and leave it up to Noah whether Noah is going to take that advice or not. You see? As we look at Genesis 6 and 17, let's look at it. Genesis 6 and 17. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost told me that y'all afraid what people gonna think if y'all gotta close down y'all business. Y'all don't wanna start it because if it fail, your family and everybody gonna talk about you. I've come to learn they're gonna talk about you regardless. If you succeed or fail, they're gonna talk about you. On bread. Genesis 6 and 16, 17. God told Noah, And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. This ain't a devil about to flood the earth and hurt man. It's God. God say, I'm going to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. This is God saying that. And TP, whenever God says something, he mean it. And he not only said a flood was coming, the flood happened. And we can look at archaeological evidence to this day. And there is proof that there was a global deluge that occurred on the face of the earth. You say, Pastor, what's the proof of the flood? When you began to find fossils of marine life on Mount Everest, everything was underwater. Do you understand what I'm saying? When they finding crawfish on mountains, catfish in the hill, you understand what I'm saying? Is either them fish walked, like the evolutionists say, or the water got over the mountaintops, like the Bible say? Anybody hear me up in here? And they ain't finding no legs on these fossils. Oh yeah, check it out for yourself. Marine life fossils on the top of Mount Everest. He flooded the whole thing to destroy all flesh. You see? Look with me at verse 18. But with thee will I establish my what? My covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. Now this is awesome, y'all. You see, he told Noah the way that Noah could be saved. That covenant he made with Noah is just like the covenant he makes with us tonight. You see, the ark for us is the cross. That's our vessel. That's our safe place. And there's so many similarities between that ark and the cross of Calvary. Anybody hear me up in here tonight? In the days of the ark, judgment was coming by water. In our days, judgment is coming, but by fire. All right? It was a total judgment in Noah's day, and it's going to be a total and universal judgment in our day. All right? Salvation in the days of Noah's ark was initiated by God. Meaning that if God wouldn't have spoke up, if God wouldn't have act out, if God wouldn't have reached out to man, none of mankind would have survived. The same way with the cross, God initiates salvation for man. For all our sinners, the wages of sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. Listen, if God didn't reach out to man through Yahshua Jesus, all of mankind would have been annihilated. There is a correlation between the ark and the cross. Even back then, through Noah, God was preaching the gospel to us, Curtis. He was telling us, yeah, this is judgment, yeah, but there's a far worse judgment that's coming. Yeah, fear the one who could kill the body. Oh, no. Fear the one who could kill the body, and after he finished with the body, cast the soul into hell. That's who you fear. There's a greater judgment coming. But we find in both situations we have a salvation that's initiated by a holy, a loving, a gracious God. It's not that we love him, but that he first loved us. The similarities continue. Both instruments of salvation are made out of wood. Oh, God, have mercy. The ark was made out of wood, and the cross, the old rugged cross, was made out of wood. One made a vessel, amen, with tons of wood. Our instrument was made with two pieces of wood and a bunch of nails. In both situations, the wood was covered with something. Oh, God, have mercy. In Noah's day, the wood was covered with pitch, a mud-like substance, to make the wood stick together, to make sure that the waters of judgment couldn't get in. Oh, y'all ain't with me right here. Our wood is covered with something too. Our wood is stained with something too. Amen. Our wood, hey God, is stained with the blood of our God. Amen. He told Noah, cover that wood with pitch. And he covers our ark, our cross, with the blood of Jesus. The pitch didn't let judgment in. The pitch didn't let the waters of judgment in. What covers our cross, the blood of Jesus, don't let the judgment in either. You see, because when the death angel passes, when he see the blood on the wood, he got to pass over. He got to pass over. I can't go into that house. I can't go into that family because the wood is covered with something. It's covered with the blood is what I'm telling you about right here. That ark was preaching way before Calvary that we'd have a vessel of wood to save us from a judgment that was coming. You see? Same way with the ark. The ark during those days was the only way to be saved. Oh, that was the only way. There was no other little boat that was prepared. And if it was a little boat, after God unleashed the fountains of the deep, them boats was gone. The ark was laid out perfectly, dimensions and everything, so that it can survive the onslaught of what was coming. It was the only vessel that you could get into and survive. So it is this day with our ark, the cross of Calvary. It is the only vehicle, the only vessel that you can get into and survive the wrath to come. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but Yahshua Jesus the Christ. There is no other mediator between man and God but Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. The only way was the ark. The only way today is the cross. And they're going to put on TV all kind of other ways. Oh, yeah. The same way you would never trust any of those boats in a Noahic flood. It's the same way you can't trust Buddha, you can't trust Muhammad, you can't trust Joseph Smith, you can't trust the Pope, you can't trust none of these vessels. Only the cross will get you over. And this right here shows us the character of our God. He has no problem providing one way. It is his way. It is his M.O., his modus operandi, to provide one way. See, man want to invite you with more than one way. God is a one-way God. He's a one-way God. And I'm going to tell you why he's a one-way God. It's not that he's stubborn. It's not that he's harsh or he's hard. He's a one-way God because that one way is full of mercy and grace, and he don't even have to provide that one way heavy, but he provides us a way. The way is grace. That he would even give us a way of escape is mercy. So to ask for anything more would be, amen, totally wicked. It would be like a person homeless, hadn't eaten for weeks, and you provide them food, and they say, I don't want no fried chicken. I'd rather filet mignon. Negro, you crazy? You ain't hungry then. Because a beggar can't be choosy. You understand what I'm saying? And a sinner can't be choosy with his God on the way that he's supposed to be saved. We look at God and we say, provide many ways. No, God said, no, you don't get this. The ark was the only way. The cross is the only way. Now, on the ark, there was one door. Isn't that something? You're going to build a ship big like that, high like that, And put one door. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Metro Cold Lafayette would have never passed that building inspection. They would have never got that building permit. Occupancy license denied. With no exercise, Moses, no, you tripping. Listen to me now. One door. Now, God could have provided many doors, but he was trying to tell us something. He was trying to tell us something. Just like the ark was the only way, the cross is the only way. And on that only way was one door. That cross has one door. Jesus says, I am the door. And no man, listen, any other person come any other way is a robber and a thief, he said. Jesus said, I'm the door. So to get to this cross and get in the safety of the cross, Yahshua Jesus is the only way. Come on, give him some glory, amen. Now watch this. Once you got in the ark, you were safe inside. We ain't hear no occupants falling out. Though some of them should have been kicked out, but none of them fell out. Once you was in, you was safe from the wrath on the outside. And I'm telling you here, once you in this cross, once you in the hands of Almighty God, can't no man pluck you out the Father's hand. There's a correlation between the ark and the cross. He was preaching us the gospel even way back then, you see? And the good news is, as we look at 18 of Genesis 6, it says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives, with thee. Now stop right there. The title of our third point was that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You see? Let me put my glasses on so I can see that good. You see? To the saving of his house. How many people want their house saved? Oh, God, have mercy. When you think of your house, who you think about? Think about your spouse. You think about your children. The ones you have, the ones that's to come. Huh? Think about your house. You think about, you know, all your relatives. You know what I'm saying? After that. See, when God saved Noah, he not only saved Noah, but he saved Noah's whole household. And that's what we believe in God for tonight. Anybody hear me up in here? In Acts 16:31, amen, it's a favorite scripture of many. A scripture that many pray and fast on. Because some of y'all might have perfect children, but they got some that have prodigals. You understand what I'm saying? Well, them children ain't perfect. Anybody got imperfect children up in here? All of y'all should be raising your hand. In Acts 16:31, Pastor, I was turning my pages. I couldn't raise my hand. Anybody got imperfect children up in here? Imperfect. Not perfect. Anybody got not perfect children up in here? I'm sorry, I should have said Ebonics marked it. Anybody children ratchet? Anybody? Well, now they understand, Mr. Dwight. Thank you for the definition, First Lady. All right. But in Acts 16:31, this is what we want. When the Philippian jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul tell him, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. How many people praying that tonight? You see? My God. My God. You see, like the ark is a picture of the cross, we got to take it all away with it. And you got to understand that part of God's character, amen, usually is not just to save you, no, but to save the people around you as well. That's part of who he is. You got to understand that. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand that. You see, when Abraham was praying for Lot, God just didn't get Lot, no. He got Lot, Lot's wife, Lot's daughter. Now, Lot's wife made her decision. We're going to get to that in a second. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I could, you know, hey. You know? We got the situation with Lot. We got the situation with Noah right here, Noah and his family. Even Rahab, when the walls of Jericho came down, the spies told her, put the red line. How many spies? Put the red line out your window. But get all of your family in here. And they're going to be saved. Do you see how God operates? Do you see? See, you think your salvation is by accident. When God saved you, it was strategic. It was not accidental. It was strategic. God chose you when he looked at you and all your family. And he said, which domino I could push down that's going to lay the rest of them down. It was, hey! It was a strategic saving. You understand what I'm saying? That's all of us in here. It was a strategic saving. When he grabbed Noah, it was strategy. He needed Shem. He needed Ham. He needed Japheth. From them would come the nations of the world. It was strategic. He ain't called him. He called Noah. But he knew if he pushed that domino down, everybody else was coming through. And I'm telling you tonight, you got to look at your salvation as strategic. And there's some people in here that God done already used you. You got sisters and brothers in here. You got cousins in here. You got mamas and daddies in here. Me and First Lady sit down and talk about the whole families that we have in here. The generations. You understand what I'm saying? We got the children, we got the mama, we got the aunts, the uncles, the nanan, the paran, the papi, the mommy, the Gigi. Sometimes you got to be careful in Philly who you talk about and who you're talking about around. A strategic saving. Get you, now you got your mom. Now they got this one. Now we got your children. Now we got your friend. We got your boy. We got this one. We got. Somebody say, my whole house will be saved. Come on, give God some glory up in this house. Hey! God said, who could I get that's going to influence the rest of them? You see? And that's what we're hoping. You see what I'm saying? That he would save them true, too. Now, the truth be told, they will have to believe on their own. You understand that? For me to discount that would be for me to discount the gospel. I'm not going to preach another gospel. They're going to have to believe too. That's the gospel. But what the Bible is saying right here is that when God saves you, he increases the likelihood that they will be saved too. The likelihood shoots up out the ceiling. You know? Unless they like Lot's wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so everybody going to have to make their own decision. But his M.O., amen, is to take one and take the family too. Now, some people in here, I hear them in the spirit, amen, praying even, meditating even on aunts and uncles that's lost. I hear you in the spirit. God going to save them too in the name of Jesus. God going to save them too. He going to use you. But you see, you got to be ready for him to use you like. The Spirit telling me that some of y'all passing up opportunities. The Spirit saying that some of y'all not fishing. see? You're not fishing, you're fanning. You're fanning them away. You're getting them, get out of here. You're not fishing. You see, your job is to make the gospel attractive, not repulsive. See, Noah's family didn't trust God. Noah trusted God. But his family trusted the God in him. Woo! Noah, we ain't heard him, but we know you. And we see the way you operate. And if God told you to do it, we know the way you operate. God must have told you. And so we're going to trust the God in you. Oh, God, have mercy. Let your light shine before men so they may behold your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If you would do just that, not only you would be saved, but also your whole household. You see? And for those with those children, listen to me. The promised scripture in Proverbs 22:6, if you train them up in the way they should go. And it don't matter how late you start training. Some of y'all started late because you got saved late. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. See, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest seed amongst all the trees. But when it grow it up, it grow larger than a lot of other trees, and the birds of heaven can fall up in it. Listen, you only gave that child a mustard seed of what they needed. But you got to understand how strong and how powerful that mustard seed of the kingdom is. They might run around for a little while, but guess what? They know what the emergency exit is. When they get tired of the world, and when the world done gave them too much, they going to jump out of that. They just playing by the door right now. They just playing by the door right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, that's for the children. Your whole household going to be saved. We got some with some unsaved spouses up in here. When you get saved, the likelihood of your spouse being saved goes up. Are you hearing me up in here? Yeah, they unsaved, and it don't look like they ever gonna get saved. And sometimes it might look like your spouse is the devil himself. Sometimes you check under his hat for the 666. Your partner's hat, you're looking for, I understand all of that. But what I also understand is what the scriptures say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible said, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, if your husband do not obey the word, they also may without the word be won. Did you catch that? Yeah. Woman of God, your husband can be won without the word. Without ever coming to church, without ever hearing Pastor Omar preach, without ever opening his Bible, the Bible says your husband can be won without the word. How he gonna be one without the word? As he watched the word through you. He could be one without the word. You could be the instrument that God used to save your whole household. If you just get serious about living this thing in front of him. You see? Now I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna get out of here on this one. Now, husbands, listen to me good. Daddies, listen to me good. We're talking about the saving of your household. It's good when a mama gets saved. She can bring the children in most of the time. It's good when a wife gets saved. She can bring that husband in most of the time. But statistics show that when a man gets serious about God, a man, when a man gets serious about God, that over 90%, 93 plus percent of the times, when that man gets serious about God, his whole family is coming into the church house. You understand what I'm saying? Man of God, listen to me good. The Lord waiting on you. For that child, he waiting on you. For that wife, he waiting on you. When you get serious about God, God's going to get serious about saving the people around you. And I'm saying not what I heard, but what I know. Anybody hear me up in here? He got his hands on Noah, the man of God. Noah brought what God told him to his family. And his family submitted under the word of God. I'm trying to tell you in this place. You just get serious about God. You get saved, you make sure you're saved, and you do your best to live out that word, and your whole house will be saved prophetically in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Hey! Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to pray and get out of here. My God, I told y'all I wasn't going to be long, but y'all starting all that stuff up in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray and get out of here. Dale, I'm a. Yeah. Amen. So you heard the gospel in here. You heard the way to be saved. So just pray with me now. Say, Father God, thank you for making a way out of no way. I love you. Because you first loved me. I admit I'm a sinner. I understand that judgment is coming. But Lord, I choose to get into the ark. I choose to walk through the door. I choose the blood-stained wood to keep me safe. I choose the cross. I choose Jesus. And I believe you, God, that you died on that cross, that you were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Make me a Noah. Help me to trust you. Give me the faith that I need to do the impossible on earth. I am ready. My losses or lessons. I'm ready. For the wealth of the wicked, I'm ready. Use me. Bless me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him glory. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love y'all.